Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Hundreds rallied on the Capitol steps in Juneau today, protesting the governor's plan to shut down ferry service in October. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, this comes as the Dunleavy administration decided to offer more time and a lot more money for a consultant to recommend ways to reduce or eliminate the state's subsidy for the Alaska Marine Highway System.
3,500 miles of coast, serving 30 communities for almost 70 years. And this governor thinks we don't need it.
After politicians like Juneau Democrat Representative Sarah Hannon had said their piece into megaphones, a few people broke into a traditional Tlingit song. One of the singers is Nancy Keene of Juneau.
So a lot of people refer to the Marine Highway boats as Blue Canoes, so it just really fit.
Save the Blue Canoe!
The Blue Canoe, or Alaska Marine Highway, as it's known on the books, serves a dozen communities that have no barges or scheduled jets. Angoon doesn't even have an airport. That's where Joyce and Kevin Frank are from. They hold a banner that reads, "Don't rock the boat, save our ferries."
There's no barge, no landing strip, and it's a big issue for Angoon.
If you take the ferry away, we absolutely have nothing. Nothing at all.
Democratic Senator Jesse Keel told the rally, "That can't happen."
Damn it, this is America! Our commerce and our economy depends on moving people and freight between and among our communities.
Governor Mike Dunleavy had campaigned on reducing state spending. Cutting the ferry wasn't part of his pitch. But now a 75% cut to the ferries is touted as a way of helping balance the budget without raising taxes, revising oil tax credits, or touching permanent fund dividend checks. Cutting the ferry budget was only one prong of the administration's approach. The other was to pay a private consultant up to $90,000 to study privatization and other options. The report would be due July 31st, but ferry spokeswoman Orlando says there was little interest.
DOT received one response to the original RFP, and we had heard from interested parties that a longer time frame and a larger budget was needed in order to provide for a more in-depth study.
This week, the state revised its request to expand the scope of work and the budget. Now it's offering up to $250,000 for a study due in mid-October. That's 2 weeks past the Dunleavy administration's self-imposed October 1st shutdown. But Lando says the timeline hasn't changed.
The governor's budget is proposing that it would shut down in October, and that's the proposal that's on the table right now.
Advocates of ferry reform have been working for decades to untether the ferries from state politics and make the system more efficient. The most recent effort was spearheaded by Southeast Conference, which released its latest study in 2017. Many Southeast residents are frustrated.
What are they trying to find out that's not already out there? You know, that would be my first suggestion, would be them to take a really close look at the past reform project.
Dave Kenzinger lives in Petersburg and is active on the Alaska Marine Highway Reform Committee. He says privatization isn't realistic, or it would have happened long ago.
They're not going to find anybody out there that's going to take on the current system and run it off the fare box. It's just too expensive to operate with ancient vessels.
The state's revised request for proposals asks prospective consultants to incorporate previous studies, including the Reform Committee's work. Kenzinger says that makes sense, but he questions whether $250,000 could be better spent elsewhere in the system. Meanwhile, the House and Senate Finance Committees are reviewing the transportation budget. That's where legislators will have a hand in salvaging or scuttling Alaska's ferry system. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
A former Ketchikan School Board president has withdrawn his nomination for a state commission. Governor Mike Dunleavy nominated Trevor Shaw for the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct. Shaw faced questioning over his relationship to a former Ketchikan teacher accused of sexual abuse and a recall effort. Shaw said former teacher Doug Edwards was his childhood pastor and officiated his wedding, but said he didn't know about any allegations against Edwards until Edwards' arrest. Edwards faces sentencing next month. Shaw resigned from the school board amid what he called a convoluted recall process. Ketchikan Daily News reported the recall effort addressed his alleged treatment of a student representative who wanted to be heard regarding a school board appointment. Shaw's withdrawal was announced Wednesday. He didn't immediately return a message. A national advocate for limiting money's influence in politics is touring Alaska. He's pitching a new amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which requires a supermajority of Congress. He says nearly half the Senate and 200 members of the House of Representatives are on board so far. I listened in on some of his talks in Juneau and filed this story. The proposed amendment wouldn't end unlimited spending by super PACs or redefine corporations or the wealthy's right to influence elections, but it would return the authority to do so to Congress and state lawmakers.
This is about putting the power back in your hands in Alaska to decide how you want to do it.
Jeff Clements is a Massachusetts attorney, author of Corporations Are Not People, and founder and president of the group American Promise.
Maybe you want that law about money from outside. Maybe you want that law about limits on PACs. Maybe you want that law about having corporations be in the economy but not in every election. Or you might decide, you know what, we don't have a problem. You should decide that.
The amendment would nullify parts of the U.S. Supreme Court's 2010 Citizens United decision. It struck down many laws that capped how much corporations and individuals could spend in political campaigns. The late Justice Antonin Scalia wrote the court's opinion, which equated spending money on political campaigns to protected free speech. He discussed the decision in a 2012 CNN interview with Piers Morgan.
You can't separate speech from the money that facilitates the speech.
Can't you?
It's utterly impossible. Could you tell newspaper publishers you can only spend so much money in the publication of your newspaper? Would they not say this is abridging my speech?
But Clements says the right to free speech isn't absolute. Speaker's time is limited in public hearings. Parade organizers need permits. Protesters can't hold noisy demonstrations in the middle of the night. He argues these restrictions protect an equal right to speak freely and to be heard.
To decide you're going to drop in $100 million into an election or millions of dollars, that's like shouting over your fellow citizens.
Clements says national polls consistently show Americans across party lines overwhelmingly support the amendment. He urged state and local officials in Alaska to join the 19 politically diverse states and 800 American cities that have already adopted resolutions supporting the amendment.
That's why we are trying to go all over the country, and let's see who wants to be next.
Alaska's congressional delegation has not committed. Some members of the last Alaska legislature did introduce resolutions, but only one committee hearing was held on them over 2 years. None advanced. And a quick disclosure, KTOO co-produced long-form coverage of Clements' talk with the Juneau World Affairs Council. The Interior Department is expected to release an updated plan soon on where the agency will hold offshore oil and gas lease sales in the Arctic over the next 5 years. Many organizations on the North Slope offered comments on the draft proposal. Now they'll be looking to see whether their feedback results in any changes to the new plan. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Ravenna Koenig has the story.
Most organizations on the North Slope didn't express outright opposition to the plan, but they did voice concern for subsistence resources and hunters' continued access to them, a point that was repeated by organizations like the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission, the North Slope Borough, and Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, was the necessity of exclusion zones around areas that are important for bowhead whale migration and whaling activities. Exclusion zones would take areas critical to whaling off the table for leasing, something that North Slope groups point out has been done for previous leasing programs. The North Slope Borough also voiced concern that the proposal for 6 lease sales was aggressive. They said it could be seen as a threat to the bowhead whale by the international group that sets the subsistence harvest quota and could cause the organization to reduce that quota. They suggested 2 lease sales be held in the next 5 years instead of 6. A few institutions also stated their support for putting some Arctic waters back on the table for leasing. ASRC was among them, writing that the Obama administration's actions to limit Arctic leasing had been short-sighted and arbitrary, and that offshore development could bring long-term economic stability to the North Slope and Alaska more broadly. On the other end of the spectrum, the city of Koktovik submitted a resolution stating strong opposition to any offshore oil and gas development, citing, among other reasons, concerns for subsistence resources. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
The House Resources Committee got an update earlier this week on the traditional foods movement in Alaska. It's becoming more common for public facilities in the state to accept wild harvested donations, such as deer or seafood. Seal soup has been added to the menu at the Alaska Native Medical Center in Anchorage, but places like schools, nursing homes, and hospitals have yet to incorporate one of the most requested subsistence foods. Melissa Klupach from the University of Alaska Anchorage College of Health called it Alaska's condiment.
Seal oil is a superfood. Basically, it has a high amount of omega-3s that are so healthy for us.
The state's food safety codes don't allow seal oil in public facilities yet.